You're listening to Sweat, Snot and Tears, brought to you by Netmums. I'm Annie O'Leary.
And I'm Wendy Gollidge. And together we talk about all of this week's sweaty, snotty and tearful parenting moments.
With guests who are far more interesting than we are.
Good afternoon, sweat, snot and teary people. I've got big news. I've only gone and got myself a bloody allotment, haven't I? I know it's exciting. Wendy, your turn. Tell me something more middle-aged cliche than that, please.
I went wild swimming in a quarry with a bunch of women who were in their 60s.
Oh,
and they all had
Wendy.
Those frilly hats on.
Oh, tell
and it was
me
amazing.
No, did you have one?
No, I didn't have one.
And did you have, when all the women around here who do, of a certain age, who do that wild swimming thing, they all swim along very politely with these giant orange things behind them on a string?
Yes, that's the rules. You have to have a toe float because...
What is that?
It's so that you don't die, basically.
Oh, so if you went down, it would mark the spot where you went down.
You're such a...
Just want to know in case I see one bobbing along by itself one day and I have to dive in and do my bronze medallion stuff.
No. The rules are bright hat, bright toe float, so that... When you're, it's basically to illustrate how slow you are when you're being overtaken by a triathlete, which happened a lot.
Yeah.
But, and I will save the next story for when our lovely guest has shared her middle-aged cliche.
Okay, well, let's see if she's got a lovely middle-aged cliche to share with us. Today, please welcome everyone, Liv Thorne, influencer extraordinaire and author of new book, Lives Alone, all about
Hello.
The experience of deciding to do the parenting thing solo via a sperm donor from Denmark.
As you do.
So, do you have an allotment? Do you go wild swimming? Do you swim with an orange thing and a frilly hat?
I do none of those things. I don't have an allotment. I have just taken a bottle of Aperol out of the fridge to take to my 18-year-old nephew's birthday party.
Okay.
Because he's decided that's his drink of choice.
Okay, you're in our gang. You're in our gang.
Pretty middle-aged cliche.
Love it, love it, love it.
So tell us about your lockdown, Liv. I mean... It was shit for all of us, but you did it on your own.
I know, and I think you deserve some kind of medal or award for that.
Or some Aperol.
Yeah, any of the yeah. things. You I'll know. Take carbs, alcohol, whatever. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was an absolute shocker. Looking back now, I just remember how scared I was that first...
Well, backtrack and tell our listeners how old Herb is, first
yeah,
of
so
all.
Yeah, so how old's Herb
so
now?
So Herb is now, just over three. So he was just, oddly, he was just one when it was happening, nearly two.
Oh, my God. So not just a child, but a toddler.
A toddler. And at that stage where he didn't really communicate, so...
Tell me he's still napped.
Oh, my God, yeah, he's still napped.
Okay, good, because if he didn't nap, I actually don't know what I would do.
He stopped that for second lockdown as a real treat for me. But the first lockdown, he still napped. And I was still working full time. So those naps were my saviour, because that's the time I could say, yeah, I can have a meeting then, or, you know.
Or lie down or scream really loudly by yourself.
Or cry, just a lot of crying.
You're really selling this to us, this whole
I'm
single
so
parent
sorry.
Thing?
Well, no, single parenting in a pandemic is totally yeah. different.
Yeah. True. It's not what you signed up for, Liv, is it really?
It's not what I signed up for, no. Yeah, it was just so scary. I was just terrified that first couple of weeks.
But didn't you move in with someone for the last lockdown? Didn't you kind of like throw caution to the wind and say, well, I'm done. I'm going to my mate's house.
No, it wasn't because of that. It's because, stupidly, in February 2020, I put my house on the market.
Oh, and sold it.
So I was moving house at the same time in lockdown one.
Liv, do you ever think things through, Liv?
I know, mate.
I give you a glutton for punishment right here.
Seriously. Seriously. And then the house, so I couldn't find anywhere, so I moved into a rented house that then got sold whilst I was in it.
Oh, my goodness.
And the housing market just went bonkers, so I hadn't found anywhere to live. So I phoned my sister in Devon and just said, can we come and live with you?
I know why you've got a massive following on social now. It's just because everyone wants to know if you're going to be all right.
If I know, just, will she be okay?
Is she still alive?
Is she still alive? Did she survive?
So tell us, come on, something good must have come out of it for you. Go on, give us something that you learnt or achieved or anything.
I wrote a book. Because again, I just thought I'd shove that in there as well. Really.
I'll give you that.
I wrote a book, had a bit of a breakdown because of all the things we've just spoken about. And Herb started talking properly, you know, so he became really fun. So thankfully, it was kind of all, it got better rather than worse. And also, I've got to say that my sister and her family, after about the first month of lockdown one, said, look, we've discussed it. And actually, because people who co-parent can, the child can go between like mother and father or whatever, we've decided we can do that with you if you want us to have Herb for a couple of nights a week, every couple of weeks. Yes, please.
Thank heavens for sisters.
And that totally saved my life. And Herb's, I think.
So let's go back to the beginning and tell us the How Little Herb Came to Be story.
So I've been a professional singleton for my entire adult life. I've just never had a long-term relationship since I've been an adult. Well, or as a child, I'd just like to point out.
Well, that would be worrying.
realised how bad
that
sounded.
Just to caveat that.
But I've always wanted to be a mum. I've always had that. I know that a lot of women kind of don't, or they think it will come when they're a bit older. Or I know I heard your podcast with Ellie Taylor.
Yes.
And
yes.
She was saying that she never had that, but she just assumed when once she hit 30, she'd suddenly want a kid. Whereas I was the opposite. I've always wanted one, but couldn't. There was no way of getting one because you had to have a man. And I didn't. And dating shit anyway. And dating with that pressure of, oh, yeah, hi, I'll swipe right. And by the way,
please, could you impregnate me? Yeah. Thanks.
Can I meet your mum next week? Because time's running out and shit. Go, go, go. You know, there is nothing less sexy than a woman who is there wanting a double gin and pregnancy within the next 20 minutes. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's just not okay.
A little bit of pressure.
That pressure, as well as dating, it was so I just didn't do it. It was like,
it's not conducive to it being chilled,
sometimes.
Is it?
No. And so, having done lots of jokes about turkey basting, sort of in my late 20s, like, wouldn't that be funny if God, I never found a man and I'd have to do it on my own? And then you're like, oh shit, I'm 35 and there is still no man, and my ovaries might implode at some stage.
And was it really an age thing? Was it your age that made you think, I've got to crack on with this now?
I thought you were going to say, was it really a turkey baster?
No, I promise. Well, only because I would have done it. I would have tried that because it would have been much cheaper. But as you now know, that would have gone up the wall. It would have, no. I mean,
stop,
just no.
Stop, stoppity, stop, stop, stop.
Go so, back to the nice IVF story, please.
So you hit 35. We're 35. We're with you.
And it wasn't so much that I thought my body was deteriorating as you just know that if you're going to have children, I wanted to spend time with them. I didn't want to be 50. And so therefore you'd have less and less time. And and you know that, you know, you're constantly shouted at by media saying, your ovaries will implode, you will, you know, you must have a child now or you will never have one. And I knew that I was just putting off the inevitable and I was only doing it because I was terrified. And then anyway, I just kept bursting into tears every time friends told me they were pregnant or worse, doing that kind of, oh, I'm really thrilled for you, and then running off. To burst into tears, you know, that kind of, and that's when I was like, okay, you've got to just suck it up and do something about it. So I did.
But how do you start?
What's day one? What's job one on the list of, I think I'm going to do this?
Google the word sperm donor and
exactly. That's exactly what I did because I had no, well, like, where do you start? And actually, that just provided more and more questions because there are so many caveats to everything, or just it's not like buy sperm, put it in you, you're pregnant. There are like a shit ton of variables.
Though scarily, I will tell you, there's a guy who keeps advertising his services on the NetMums forum for anyone who does.
But I get
that,
why,
and we keep having to ban him.
But I get why people, because being able to do it is seriously expensive. Like,
how much are we talking?
Fertility, or it could be anything, because it depends how many tries you have to have. It depends.
Well, it's got to work, hasn't it? Yeah.
It depends if you have IVF or IUI, which is what I had, which is a much simpler version.
So IUI, just for the uninitiated.
IUI is you literally, they put sperm in your cervix.
So you're not having to harvest any eggs and all of that.
Didn't harvest eggs. I didn't take any hormones.
It's technical turkey basting, basically.
Technical turkey basting, yep.
Always count on me to lure the tone.
Oh, absolute. Don't you worry, I'm here for that. Because I was convinced that I didn't have a fertility issue so much as I didn't have a naked man near me at the correct time of the month willing to impregnate me. I thought there was no reason for me to think that I was infertile, or so I didn't want to go straight to IVF necessarily. But anyway, so that costs, everything costs, storage costs, shipping costs, blood test costs, admin costs, ultrasounds, everything, literally everything. So I got pregnant on my fourth IUI, which is in itself a bit of a miracle. And it cost me about £15,000 in total.
So it's a serious financial commitment.
A massive. And that's before you have a baby. So that's why, going back to the donor on Facebook, I totally understand why women would turn to him, because it's a much cheaper option. And what I did is wildly privileged. Like, I wanted a baby and I could find the funds to do it.
And it happened in Denmark, is this right?
The donor is from Denmark, so, okay. But it all happened online.
So yes, it did happen in Denmark, but it got sent over.
But wait, yeah. So do they post the sperm to you? Does it arrive by DHL? Oh,
yes.
My giddy
aunt. UPS, actually.
I bet the UPS guy didn't know he was delivering that morning.
I kid you not, you add it to a basket.
How quickly do you have to do the do?
Well, then they send it to the fertility clinic.
Oh, right. It doesn't come to your house and you're like, you've got 10 minutes.
No, that's what I thought would happen. And then I'd get it wrong. And they say, oh, do you want it in this? Do you want to send it via, I can't even remember what the options were, but nitrogen or something else? And I was like, I don't know. Surely there's a preferred option.
Which one works?
This is really expensive stuff.
But wait. I want to go back a step, actually. Yeah. How did you choose Mr. Denmark Man? Do you get like a catalogue and you're like, oh, he's nice?
Again, it's so different depending on where you go, what clinic you use, what country you use. I chose Denmark because I'd seen a documentary about Danish donors.
I think it's you'd seen a documentary about Danish men.
No, sorry. Well, either or. And because that's all, like, suddenly I knew about Danish donors. I didn't know about New York donors or Spanish donors. So I looked for Danish clinics. And that's why I chose that clinic. And then you whittle down what you want.
Out of what? Like,
exactly,
physical,
like
characteristics,
height,
or academic achievement, or what
but
are we
all
going
of them.
For?
So height, weight, eye colour, blood type, ethnicity, what their grandparents died of, what, all of
wow.
it. I mean, just the most vast, but that's only on some clinics. Like, sometimes you don't get that.
Okay.
You don't get a photo.
So what were, okay, give me your top three that you wanted.
Well, at the beginning, I thought I was taking it like it was a date, like, oh, he sounds like a nice guy, cool, you know. And actually I realised
I'm actually, like, never going to speak to this
literally
person.
Didn't matter. So I needed to go, my family is riddled with cancer, so I needed to go with someone
cancer-free.
Who looked like they potentially weren't, even though obviously...
Which is a relatively tough call in itself.
Yeah, I know. It's a lottery, but that's, I decided that as long as there weren't any wild health genetic issues.
Right.
And also I went tall and skinny to counteract my short and fat.
Oh, stop.
So I figured...
Okay.
Because otherwise, where do you stop? Like, I don't care if he's got green eyes. Kind of don't care.
Some people might, I guess.
I know.
Yeah,
totally. I'd get really hung up on things like, oh my God.
But you get really hung up on it.
Well, she gets really hung up on everything, so you just have to dismiss that. This is the woman who nearly didn't get married because she got so hung up on what her wedding song was going to be.
Okay, yeah, fair. Yeah, you wouldn't cope with trying to choose a donor because it's wild.
No,
it
she definitely would
so
not.
So long, yeah.
One of the things I'd want to know is how many others has he impregnated?
Again, that... So there are very specific rules because it's all done within regulations of the HEFA, the Human Fertilization.
Embryo Fertilization something.
Gang.
Yeah. Gang, team. And so it's all very monitored.
Okay.
So donors can only have a certain quota of live pregnancies per territory.
Right.
Oh my God.
Before they're taken off the
register.
That's a sentence I never thought I'd ever hear said out loud.
That's a sentence I never thought I'd need to hear or warrant, you know,
and
knowledge about.
So did you pick one dude's sperm or could you just say, oh, I'll have anyone who ticks these boxes? No, send me different sperm every week if you want.
Well, if you're a tribillionaire, sure. But no, I picked one because I finally found one that kind of ticked some random boxes I'd decided upon. Because there is no right answer. It's not like you get to the end of the test and they go, you picked right. No, exactly. So I picked a guy and just hoped.
But you don't get to see a photo or anything?
I got a photo of him at 6 months, which is vaguely pointless.
Oh, wow. Like, a baby photo.
And what about the whole, you know, whether Herb gets to contact him and stuff? How does that all work?
So again, that depends on territory and legalities. Now, I was really adamant that I wanted an open donor, which means that Herb can contact him when he's 18 if he wants to, because that's not my right to sort of stop that.
Mm.
I wouldn't want him to want it and me to have shut that door for him.
Right.
Without, you know, I'd rather he had the option and then he can choose whatever. So that again whittles down. But that depends, again, the legalities of whether you can have open donors or not depends on country, territory. It's wild. Yes. Which again goes back to why people just buy sperm on Facebook.
It's all very complex, isn't it?
It's really complicated. And these are things you're constantly finding out whilst not knowing anything, in a state of desperation and trying to get to the end goal of being pregnant, but you don't know how to get there. And there's constantly another hurdle or, more often than not, another financial, like, oh yeah, you can have that guy, but, you know, he's extra.
Did you have a bottom to the money pot? Was it like, okay, after go seven, we're going to have to...
I gave myself a limit because I know people that have tried for 15, 20 years and have spent literally tens of thousands of pounds, hundreds of thousands of pounds. And I know that I'm that person and I would have got myself in real trouble if I hadn't have given myself parameters. And actually, yeah, I was very near that. So.
Which is scary. So you got pregnant.
I did.
Was there any point between that bit and meeting the lovely Mr. Herb when you thought, what have I done? Was there any point in the pregnancy or the birth where you were like, why have I done this on my own?
Nearly all of it. Like, I'm not kidding. So I just assumed I'd absolutely bloody love pregnancy because I'd yearned for it for so long.
We all thought that one, Liv. Rubbish, isn't
Holy
it? Sorry to anyone
shit.
Who thought it was lovely.
I mean, I'm thrilled that people find it lovely. I'm glad there are some people that genuinely did bloom and loved it. I was sick for the full 42 weeks.
Oh, me too. Join the club. All three of us.
Yeah.
Oh, and I just kept thinking, why does no one warn you about this? Why don't I feel well? Why don't I feel excited? Because all I ever thought mainly was, where's the nearest toilet? Because in a minute, I'm going to throw up on someone if I don't know where the loo is. And then I was waiting for the 12-week scan because everyone was like, oh, once you have that, you won't feel sick anymore. So I was kind of waiting for a nurse to press something or whatever to make it all stop. And no, so I'd find myself often just lying on the bathroom floor in the middle of the night, just weeping, like, what the fuck have I done? Why did I think that I'd be able to do this on my own? How arrogant am I to assume this would work? You know, what an idiot. If I can't cope with this sickness, how am I going to be able to cope with the baby? Etc., etc., etc.
And then you have baby Herb.
Yeah.
And at that point, did you think, okay, it's all fine now? Or is it always a bit of a niggle in your head thinking, why did I ever think I could do this?
Yeah, I assumed as soon as he was in my arms, I would have that thunderbolt of maternal instinct because I'd longed for it for so long. I'd assumed as soon as I saw him, I would just feel elation. But actually, I was totally broken. I'd gone through pretty rotten birth. And I was just like, yeah, I mean, I'm glad he's here and he's okay. But, you know, I don't feel that urge I thought I'd feel. And that didn't come for maybe 3 or 4 weeks.
But those first few weeks are absolute carnage, irrespective. You could have three husbands in the room and they'd still carnage.
I was totally blindsided by that. And actually, I was really lucky.
No one can explain.
Yeah, I would say that's got nout to do with single parenthood. That's just being a mum.
No, I was really lucky because my sisters, who are both a bit older than me, and they've got like 6 kids between them, they were my birthing partners and they came and lived with me on and off for the first 3 weeks, month.
Oh, that's really cute.
And they knew what they were doing. So it's not like I was fumbling around with my partner who also didn't know what he was doing. Mm-hmm. I had two professional mums who were like, oh, God, I remember this bit. Yeah, shit. Or, oh, you need to have loads of linseeds so that the poo doesn't kill you. And, you know, all of this sort of stuff. So I think actually the first 3 weeks I had it really good, even though inside I was constantly like, what the fuck have I done? The shift in having been alone, I'd lived alone since I was 17, to suddenly just everything changes. It just, and it does whether you're single or not, like you say, it's...
Yeah, it's mind-blowingly altering, irrespective.
That shift is just unreal, yeah. And I don't think that had anything to do with me doing it on my own.
So when they left you... kind of to your own devices at 3 weeks or so.
Yeah.
Were you in your groove then? Were you a bit more like, okay, I know how to keep this human alive?
No. I convinced myself that I kind of did. And I assumed that because they'd deemed me
fit,
okay to leave. Yeah. Because I know that they wouldn't have done if they thought I was really struggling, that I must be okay. But I still didn't anticipate like all the side swipes you get every time you think you've
side
got it.
Side swipes? Don't talk to me about side swipes. I might call my book Side Swipes. It's a really good way of...
Because it's like being on Total Wipeout. I've put in my book, actually, it's like being on Total Wipeout. Like, you're kind of okay and you're sort of treading water and then suddenly a fucking great big red...
Inflatable thing
just punches
knocks you off
you.
Your feet. Yeah, but I still have those. Nearly 10 years in.
Yeah, we both do.
And they happen constantly. Yeah. And I just didn't anticipate.
And they can happen in the middle of the night and it can be on Christmas Day. It can be on
anytime.
Your birthday.
Yeah. And I really didn't. I sort of thought the first month would be me staring lovingly at my beautiful, calm baby, watching box sets.
In some nice cashmere baby grey.
In some cashmere. Yeah. And everything would just be really lovely. Oh, yeah.
When actually you're covered in shit that looks like mustard.
Yeah, and you open the door with a boob hanging out. Yeah.
I did that. I scared the postman witless.
So did I. Ocado delivery man. Boob out and just in my pants. Lovely.
Well, we had scaffolders in when my second child was youngest. We had someone coming in and fixing the roof. So basically, they were all on the scaffolding at bedroom window height. So what those poor bastards saw, I wouldn't know.
They're still in therapy now, when they're still having therapy.
They're still up there. They couldn't get down. I don't know if it's because I wanted to be a mum so much that I... blocked off any
sense of reality
of these kind of conversations that my friends were probably having, or whether people just didn't talk about it as much, or I don't know. But I thought it would all be a bit tough because you don't have much sleep. I mean, I just
understatement of the century.
Well, Kate Lawler's quite publicly just said that
I really admire her for that.
Yeah, same. She's got a night nanny, didn't she? Because she was like, I don't care, I can't do this. Yeah. I need some help. Yeah. Fair play to her. If you can afford it, do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And God, I would have happily not done anything. But I'd get I'd rope in people to, once I eventually got into some sort of vague routine, once I realised that might help me out. Because I thought I was really chill and like, oh, yeah, I'll just do whatever the baby wants. Until I was like, no, I won't. Well, we need some kind of routine because otherwise I'm going
to... You really get to know yourself, don't you?
Really?
Yeah. Wendy and I discovered that we were control freaks and who would have known?
Me too. But I
Our
genuinely
husbands,
thought
maybe.
I wasn't. I genuinely thought I was really like super chill. Nope.
So who do you lean on for support? Your sisters, obviously.
My sisters.
Who, yeah, as you mentioned, they're a bit older and they're kind of wise, yes, parent, been through this.
Yes.
But who else?
So I've got a team of friends who I just had to make sure that they knew that I might call them at 3 o'clock in the morning and please could they answer, because my family don't live near me, whereas my friends do. So I needed to know that if I was in real trouble, that they'd be able to get to me, or, you know, it would be okay.
Did it make you feel a bit more vulnerable in that way, actually? Thinking, God, what if I need someone in the night?
Yeah, and there is just some things that are tougher, that kind of thing, where just logistically, if something happens in the night, or if you need a babysitter quickly, or just everything is slightly more complicated because there isn't, mm-hmm, just someone else you can quickly phone because it's their responsibility too. It's all on me. And if I'm asking anyone else to look after him, or it's a favour, it's not something that they should do because they're his other, mm-hmm, parent or whatever. It's because they love me and they're being helpful elves.
I don't know how any of us would do it without friends, to be honest.
No, absolutely not.
You've been very candid about the fact that you lost your parents when you were young.
Yeah.
Your siblings are a bit older than you.
Yes.
And that kind of, in a way, has left you quite fearful of intimacy and maybe the vulnerability that that requires.
Totally. Again, I didn't realise that until, oh God, I don't know, not even long ago, probably when Herb was born, that kind of time. Mm.
So how do you negotiate that as a parent? Because obviously we all want to be as available emotionally as, yeah, we can for our children. Have you had to have help with that? Or do you think it's just an awareness that makes you think, oh, I didn't know I was like that, but okay, I get it now and off I go.
Yeah, I mean, I think I do need help, but but I don't have it with Herb because... Right. I don't know why. It's weird. I don't know why. Whereas I always assumed that people would abandon me, which is why I never got into relationships, because I assumed that...
Dolly, don't think that.
But I didn't realise that that's what I assumed until really recently, because Dad died when I was 12, Mum died when I was 17. Then I had my first sort of relationship, then that broke up. Then all my grandparents died. Then someone dumped me, you know. And so by the time I was 21... it was like, Jesus, this heartache thing is shitty. I'm not going to do that again. I'm just going to back up because then I don't have to go through this pain again. But I absolutely didn't realise that that's what I was doing until really recently.
So, but that's the question then. Has it changed you? Do you think you would be different in a relationship now with all your free time to go dating, obviously?
With all my free time.
All your free time.
I'd love to be in love. Look, I'd love it. I'd absolutely love my kitchen table to be full every night of a big family, because that's where I've come from and that's what a lot of my friends have. And yeah, I'd love it. But if it doesn't happen, I think I'm more likely to try and go on a date now because there's less pressure.
Why is there less pressure? Why is there less pressure now?
Well, because she's not got the whole ovaries thing going on, has she?
I don't want to get pregnant. So I'm looking at it from another angle, whereas before it was, I was putting up any barrier I could, and the best barrier was, this is horrible because I want to get pregnant soon, so let's not.
Have there been any gentleman callers since you've had her?
No.
It has been a pandemic, give her a break.
True.
The Ocado man comes occasionally, the Amazon man's quite chatty.
You could leap on him.
But yeah, I don't think he'd like it, to be honest, poor man.
You never know. Might be calling for it.
No, I haven't. But I've not been looking. I'm so used to not looking that I wouldn't know if he was, you know, if the Ocado man did give me the wink, I'd just be like, oh, hi, you're nice.
You said quite categorically a second ago, I don't want a baby. Has Herb scratched that itch and you're done?
No, or? I mean, I would have a baby tomorrow.
I was going to say, we're going to have more little Herbs.
I'd love to. I can't afford it. So the fertility treatment is wild in expense.
And two on your own would be it's a big commitment having a Herb. Yeah.
And then childcare costs.
Well, that's the killer. That is the killer.
I moved house because I got in so much debt don't get me wrong, it's not all because of Herb. I'm shit with money. But essentially... childcare costs, on top of just having a kid costs, and fertility costs got me in so much debt that I had to sell my house to clear it. Yeah. And so I couldn't do it again.
If there are any politicians listening and you would like to win the next election, just sort out childcare, make it affordable, will you? Because every single parent in the country will vote for you.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And there's a lot of parents.
There's a hell of a lot of parents. If you were going to do it again, let's say you win the lottery tomorrow.
Yes.
Would you go to the same man for the sperm?
Yeah, but even though I've not won the lottery and the chances of this happening are slim, that brings me out an anxiety.
Why?
In case he isn't there.
Oh, God, could it be check? I would be doing like a little intermittent checks just in case.
Just the thought of it. Because then if I look, then that's me wanting to be pregnant again, and I literally can't afford it, so I couldn't look. But even the thought of him not being available and me having to go through that whole choosing process again actually like makes me want to drink gin through a straw. Just
there's many things that make me want to drink gin.
We quite like drinking gin through a straw, but anyway.
So the title influencer is one that causes all sorts of feelings in all sorts of people, but if it all went away tomorrow, what would you be instead?
Well, I mean, I'm not an influencer. Like, I'm literally not. I just have some people that follow me online.
Quite a few.
And I did it. I've been very open with it because I really think normalising different families is really important.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to make sure that if there are other women or men or whatever, know that it doesn't always have to be a 2.4 even child scenario with a husband and wife and everything's fine. So if that went, it wouldn't impact my life at all. I've got a full-time job. It's not an integral part of my life at all, although I love it. Like, it kept me sane. Instagram kept me sane during the last 3 years.
I find that really interesting because it tends to really divide people, doesn't it? It either is the thing that connects people to others, like you just said, it kept you sane.
Which I find that part of it, I would struggle. But the people I love that I've met on Instagram, I have their number. I don't need Instagram to talk to.
But then we've had other guests. We've had guests who've been reduced to panic attacks. We've had guests who've had to come off social media for a while. Like, it can either go one way or the other, can't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's, I don't have that big, I have a big following, I guess, to a point, but it's not like hundreds of thousands where you attract so many people who are just unpleasant.
Have you had unpleasant stuff or have people just been very supportive?
Yeah, I'm just going to touch wood. Not one, I've not had one.
That's amazing.
Person be a twat to me, which is why I think I enjoy it. I think if people were once I did something about bottle feeding and people were...
Oh, that always brings them out of the woodwork.
Exactly. And actually it was like, well, that's cool. That's what you like. I know that Herb is healthy and fine, you know. But if people attacked him then I'd just come off. But because I've never had it, I don't. But yeah, I would happily leave if it got to the point where I was becoming unwell. Happily.
So... tell us what's next in your life. What is your full-time job? What do you do when you're not Instagramming?
I run a digital agency, so we design and build websites. I don't do the design or the build.
You just do the talking about it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always the best way. Tell us your plans. Like, are you going to keep working? Do you want to get a better work-life balance than you've got now?
I'm so lucky because I run the company with three friends. There are four of us. My work-life balance is brilliant because they're all really supportive. We're all supportive of each other. So if we have to, and they're three men. It's not that it's three women, you understand. They're three men who just totally like, oh yeah, you've got to go and do that. Cool. Don't worry. Because they know it's our company. It's in my best interest to make sure our clients are well served, and I'll get the job done in the evening if I've got to go and pick up Herb earlier or whatever. I don't think I could be a single mum and have any kind of mental clarity if someone else was my boss and I was getting that kind of, it's 1 minute past nine.
I think it makes mums' lives hell.
Hell.
And I mean, most mums actually have to live like that, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm seriously lucky. I don't think I'd be able to do it, like I say, and still have any kind of form of mental health happiness if there were people constantly clock watching my time.
So one of the questions we always ask everybody is, how do you want to be remembered by Herb?
Oh my God. That is hideous.
Most people normally cry about this point.
I know. I just
everyone's like, well,
I'd want him to remember me as being fun and loving and showing him a good time, and that he can achieve whatever he wants to achieve, because you've got to make it happen for yourself. I'd want him... Oh my God, that's the most horrific question. I don't know. I'd love to say something really profound, but no, I'd want him to think of me as the mum who adored him and he had fun with, I think.
Are you fun mum?
Oh, I've got to be both. So I am...
You're all the mums.
I'm good cop, bad cop, in between cop, cross cop,
all the
happy
cops.
Cop. Yeah, I'm literally the full squad. So he knows when he's in trouble, but he's just got to that stage. He's really annoyingly cute. When I tell him off now, I was like, Herb, you've just got to stop being cross with me. And he just said, oh, but mummy, I'm sorry. I love you very much. Like, oh, you know.
Melts.
Yeah. So he's just got to that clever manipulation stage, which is unfortunate.
Just you wait.
For me. I know, I'm terrified. Genuinely terrified.
Five is when they've just got the right balance of cute and I can push every button.
Yeah, button. Yeah, I'm absolutely terrified.
My youngest is at the stage where she tells me, if I disagree with her, that I'm the worst mummy in the world, and then goes away and then writes me this huge heartfelt letter about why she's really sorry that she's sad, with all of the words misspelled.
I know Herb will do the thing where he says, you shouldn't have ever had me. Like, I'm waiting for that, because that's just like classic 101 kid, whereas he's literally got the, you shouldn't have ever put that sperm in the basket, you know, but that'll happen.
Oh, yeah, it'll happen to all of us at some point. Okay, we like to go from the sublime to the ridiculous. So the next question we always ask towards the end of a pod is...
She's wincing. She's wincing. Yeah,
I promise you. This is the easy one before the really hard one. What's for tea? We normally also ask, and who's cooking? Oh. But I think it's quite obvious that it's going to be you.
It's going to be me.
Herb. Herb is cooking tonight. Or is it a Deliveroo?
No, they don't come out here.
No, Deliveroo doesn't go to Blanche, really.
No,
I never knew that.
I know, gutted. So today is my my 18th nephew. That's not correct, is it? My nephew's 18th birthday party.
Oh,
so tea is going to be booze. Oh. And Herb might have some crisps.
Actually, can we talk about booze and being a single parent?
Yeah.
How do you
That's
get drunk?
That's a good point.
How do you get drunk and how do you be hungover? Because normally it's just like, oh my God, I'm so hungover, you need to get
It's your turn.
Yeah.
So I gave up booze when I was trying to get pregnant, because it's one of the things that apparently, I mean, who knows, but apparently it will help you, and I wanted to do everything I could. And now I'm a horrific binge drinker. So I don't have any booze at home. Because I have no filter. I have no moderation filter, which is why I eat all the carbs in the world, because I can't stop. I can't stop eating, but I had to, so I could stop drinking, because otherwise I would be watching Home and Away.
So wait, when you go to the 18th, what are you going to drink?
So tonight I will drink because other people are there. But the hangover I'm already nervous about. So I've already prepped the fridge.
Is Herb coming to this party?
Yeah. I mean, it's just family. It's not going to be, like, wild. But I know. So yeah, generally I don't drink anymore because I can't cope with the hangovers in a toddler. I just can't. And I value sleep and patience over the booze.
I was really liking you.
Yeah, I've gone off you.
And now we're just going to have to break friends, and we've only been friends for 45 minutes.
Right, well, I'm quite looking forward to asking you this last question then.
Oh, shit.
It's your turn, Wen, to ask the rubbish question.
I'm actually nervous, yeah.
The sadist that is Anne-Marie O'Leary invented this question.
Yeah.
Guilty.
You have to imagine that Annie and I are Herb, and you are tucking us into bed, and you have to sing us your lullaby.
Because we know every parent has a song that they always resort to when the kid can't sleep, and we want to know what it is, and we want you to sing it to us.
And you can't be in the company of some of the biggest names on this pod who our singers have refused.
Okay, so the problem I've got is there are kind of four.
Oh. Well, we could have a little snapshot of all of them, a medley.
Okay, so the first one that not so much anymore, but when he was little, was Baby Shark. I'm not going to do that because then it'll be in your ears and you'll want to stab me.
It's an earworm, isn't it?
Yeah. The second one was He's Super, He's Delicious, He's Herbalicious. Nobody
nice.
Knows.
Nice, okay. Yeah.
And then generally they change every week, so he makes up a song up most days. So last night, well, the last couple of weeks, my niece, who's 24, not 6, made up one with him in the garden, which was Sticky, Sticky Mud, Mud, Sticky, Sticky Mud. So another corker. But every morning he serenades me from his bed because he's the laziest kid in the world. He still hasn't worked out that he can get out of his own bed.
And neither of mine did either. They were too
literally
lazy.
Just lies there going, Mummy! And then we'll sing Hallelujah. Yeah, to me. Because it's in Sing, which is his favourite movie of all time. And so I'm not going to sing that to you because I am not Jeff Buckley. So I'll give you a Hallelujah. That's it.
I was going to sing the rest, but I won't. I think that's epic. I want to meet Herb. He sounds really cool.
He's pretty cool. He's
a dude.
I'm really lucky. He's
from what
really
I've seen
nice
on Instagram,
kid.
He's a dude.
He's, I mean, he's a shitbag as well. He's a toddler. Like, he's not always, but I'm really lucky. He's a really nice kid.
Okay, well, Miss Liv, thank you so much for being a lovely, lovely, lovely and very informative guest.
Thank you, and thank you.
I think you're doing wondrous work making every family, no matter what they look like, feel like they
thank
are
you.
A real family.
And if anyone wants to buy my book, which I think I'm supposed to say.
I thought you were going to say if anyone wants to buy some sperm.
You get a free sample with the book. You don't. I'll probably get in trouble. It's out on August the 19th. Thanks very much. If you could make the pain of writing it worth it, that would be great.
I'm sure it will be a bestseller, Liv. Right, go and get ready for your Aperol party.
Oh, mate, I'm so excited. Thank you.
And we wish you luck with the hangover in the morning.
Thanks, team.
Cheerio.